Hello and welcome to the Goddess Life Podcast, a podcast that aims to help women connect to their inner goddess and nurture their divine feminine essence. And we do this by discussing both practical and a little bit more magical ways. And we do this to nurture our minds, bodies, and spirits. And this is good for you, whether you are trying to find more empowerment, success, and happiness within your personal life, or even your sacred business if you are one of those spiritual entrepreneurs. I'm Charisse Williams, a sacred business coach and spiritual guide, and I'm so excited to welcome you to this episode. In this episode, we are chatting with Lara Rose Duong. This was such a great interview that we had. Lara has so much freaking wisdom, and she comes from such a genuine place of love and tenderness, and she knows her stuff. But in this episode, we discuss kind of the more spiritual side of money, because yes, money is spiritual. It's a part of life and it's a part of spiritual life as well. So we discuss kind of ways to think of money in a more spiritual way, especially as spiritual and sacred business owners and in healers and in the spiritual community. There really seems to be a very large stigma attached to money. I mean, there's a stigma attached to money no matter what field of living you're in, but especially within the spiritual and like healing communities, there's a lot of stigma attached to it. So we go into kind of maybe how to switch your mindset around money, whether or not you are in the spiritual community, and kind of how to rewrite your money story and kind of figure out where maybe you're having some blocks in your life. There's so many amazing moments in this interview. So I really, really hope that you enjoy it and maybe even make some notes. I personally took notes myself when I was re-listening to it because there's so many good little nuggets of wisdom and amazingness. So check out Lara Rose Duong on Instagram, LaraRoseDuong. She is the beautiful money witch and she's amazing and I love her. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Please don't forget to subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a review if you feel so called, and go ahead and share this out with your friends, family, everything, because everybody could use a little schooling in the money department. So, all right. I hope that you enjoy and I will talk to all of you later. Bye-bye. All right, so we are recording. All right, I want to welcome you guys to meet Miss Lara Rose Duong. She is the modern money witch, and she is amazing. If you're not following her on Instagram, make sure you go follow her there. It's Lara Rose Duong on Instagram, and that's also her website as well. And she is just what she says, the modern money witch. She helps fuse the spirituality aspects of money, helps you bust through any of the money blocks that you might have, helping you switch your mentality to accept more abundance into your life. And I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so very excited to have you here. So, I love when we both keep doing like this.
I'm so excited.
I was telling Lara before we got on here that I'm actually kind of like I'm feeling all kinds of energy. I have a bunch of grounding crystals with me and got my Mother Mary here to help like calm me down. I don't know what it is. Yeah. So hopefully some amazing stuff comes through in this this interview, which I'm sure that it will, because you are full of awesomeness.
Thank you. I have all my crystals set up too.
Yay, I love it.
Selenite or celestite, and then I have a piece of Lemurian here.
Ooh,
yeah. And actually right before the call I pulled a card for your sisterhood.
Yay, thank you.
And it's I just asked like what you needed to hear today, and this is hilarious to me because this card comes up so often for my clients and for the rich witches I work with, and it's Melchizedek.
Ooh.
Higher learning. And he says here, you have learned from experience, more inner study is now required to further progress.
Oh, I love it.
And I love this card so much whenever it comes up, because I feel like it really encourages people to turn within for wisdom and allow, give yourself time and space to integrate. Because so often I think we're so concerned that we don't have that information and we're reaching out, getting validation, information from other people, which is great, you have to give yourself space and time to connect with your own team and get your own guidance as well. So him coming up is always a powerful moment. Yeah.
I love that. And it's funny you said integration. That's something I've been hearing so much lately is integration. And I think that's like a big lesson that a lot of us are needing to learn or even remember is to integrate. You know, you can read 1,000 books and you can watch all the webinars you want, listen to all the podcasts you want, but until you take that moment, like you said, go within and actually integrate what it is that you're not really going to get anywhere. And I love to have the knowledge within us, like you said.
Yeah. And it applies to our Money Honey story too. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people are what I like to call like in consumer mode. Mm-hmm. So same with your information and your knowledge, you're out there in the world consuming things, buying products, buying lots of food, filling up your homes with tons of stuff and just like consuming. And sometimes not even thinking about, okay, like, does this actually add value to my life? And does this actually bring me joy? Do I actually need this in my life? And like you turn around and suddenly you're just like drowning in stuff. And you haven't actually had a moment to really experience all those things that you brought into your space. Mm-hmm. So that whole integration piece is important right across the board, I think.
I love that. I'm totally guilty of that too. The consuming on all levels. I'm one of those, like when I want to learn about something, I'm like, let me read all the books and get all the books. But mm-hmm. I'm books, I'm like, I feel so bad that I haven't even read that I've gotten them and I've like looked through them, but then I haven't actually sat down to read them. It's horrible.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that too. And I have to catch myself on it, mm-hmm. you know, because like, you know, otherwise I'll turn around and I'm just like drowning in crystals or yes. I have way too many tarot cards or things like that. So I think it's important just to take a moment and go, okay, like, is this actually important to me? Mm-hmm. And then take a moment to take it in. Yeah.
Because I've kind of noticed with me that when I do kind of get into that like consuming mode, there's always something else going on within me. Do you find it to be kind of true across the board for people?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like for example, some of my clients that I've worked with and I know a lot of us experienced this is that if you're not feeling a wealthy connection in the world, so that solar plexus is connected with the world, you're not filled with loving relationships in your life. This is only one aspect. I'm not saying it's the only one. Mm-hmm. That you end up trying to feed that void mm-hmm. with something. So for some people, it could be feeding it with food. I have the clients that I work with, some of them do that, but some of them are more focused on feeding that loneliness void mm-hmm. with things. So definitely, you know, if you notice yourself consuming whatever it is out of balance, mm-hmm. then ask yourself like, okay, like what void am I filling right now?
Yeah.
And then address that and then go fill it with experiences.
I love that. Go fill it with experiences. And that goes back to too, like turning within yourself to really, you know, kind of check in with yourself and see what's going on.
Yeah.
I love that. So I guess, what is your background? What inspired you to be like, you know what? I want to help other people with their finances and abundance mindset and prosperity. Like, what made you have that aha moment?
I think that I've always been in this space of helping others. Even when I look back to growing up, I was always helping other people. And my mother has taught me so much. So I call her Mama Honey. So Mama Honey's taught me so much around helping people around money and investments. And I've been going to like studying in that area for a long time. And at one point in time, I actually went into the traditional financial advising, which was really great. You know, like that's the whole masculine side of things, like getting the plan in motion, getting all the actions done. But consistently I noticed that there was this big gap whenever I'd sit down with people, and that would usually be a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd be nervous to come in to talk to me. They'd be nervous to talk about the truth of their money. And on top of it, behind the scenes, I was always practicing like these divine practices. I was intertwining that for my clients without them knowing, mm-hmm. you know, trying to create an open, safe space for them. And sometimes we'd spend a lot of time just talking about the soul. You know, what do you really want, and tying their Money Honey story to what they really want. And I felt that that needed to take precedence before action comes into place. Mm-hmm. And I was having a lot more fun and I felt it was a lot more rewarding. I found a lot more results when I spent time with people talking about, you know, what is your money, honey story? What is your prosperity story? And encouraging people to invite the divine to the table, because then you're really working in flow with the universe, with the energy that's out there. It's not about like, what am I going to do with my money? Mm-hmm. It's more like, okay, how can I receive more money in my life? And then how does this money serve purpose in my life? How does it fulfill a need in the world as well? And then there's more, what's the word I'm looking for? Ownership's not the right word. But you're in a deeper relationship with money and you're using it with more consciousness at that point. And it's not as scary, because it's not supposed to be something that's scary. I hope that I kind of went around in a circle there, but
that's okay. You answered the question then.
Okay, that's good.
I love it. So it seems like even people who don't have, you know, a spiritual mentality, that they can still benefit from kind of approaching money from a spiritual side, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. So for like the non-woo-woos out there, mm-hmm. then I like to call it soulful money management. Mm. Right? So just you're managing your money with a little extra soul.
I like
and it makes it a lot more approachable, because I find that in our patriarchal world, money has been deemed as something that's cold, that's evil, that runs the world, that runs and controls you. Mm-hmm. And that it's something that isn't a part of you. It's something that's way over there. And maybe I might have some in my life, maybe I don't. And I have to bust my ass to get it. And I don't think that's the reality of it. And when we do approach it from a soulful perspective and realize, okay, like money is a form of energy, mm-hmm. just like any other kind of energy, how do we draw that into our lives? It just makes it a lot more fun, approachable. You can feel more safe. And that's when that like ooey gooeyness feeling comes out. And that's when people start thinking, okay, yeah, you know, they can get behind the mantra, love is money. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's scary and that's in a pedestal over there.
Yeah. I like that. That kind of leads me into one of my other questions I was going to ask was, it seems like, I mean, people have issues with money all over the board, whether you're spiritual, you're not, you know, business or not, everybody has, you know, judgments about money and issues with money, but it seems like it's really prevalent in the like healing communities and in the spiritual communities. There seems to be a lot of like judgment towards money and a whole, you know, slew of people that say, you know, oh, you shouldn't charge for your spiritual services. You shouldn't charge for healing people. And they get really fired up about it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that stigma is attached to money so much in the healing and spiritual communities? Why do you think that is such an issue for so many people? Obviously not everybody, but there are a lot.
Yeah. Oh man, this is a juicy question. It really, really is. I think there's a lot of like, there's many ways to look at it, but I think there's the one way that I think about it is that a long time ago, you know, healers and spiritual people did receive in exchange for their work. Mm-hmm. They did. It may have not been queen cash coming into their hands, but they were supported and taken care of by their communities. So if you think about like the altars, the temples, like where priestesses used to hang out or healers used to hang out, a lot of the time the community would come to the temples and share offerings, mm-hmm. you know, like food. And so the healers and such were taken care of in their own way. Maybe in a very meager way, but they were still taken care of. And when money came into the story, this is my thinking, I'm not saying this is reality, but when, you know, money came into the story, I don't think that translated over. And I think also because a lot of times the spiritual community equates money to greed, mm-hmm. and greed is an inequality that we want to take on. But money doesn't have to be about greed. I was talking to some of my clients about this before because, you know, they had these thoughts that people that are rich people that have money are arrogant and pompous and all that kind of stuff. And the conversation that I'm bringing to the table is that it's not the money that makes people arrogant. It's the person that does. It's their actions. And there's so much good that we can do in this world with money if we choose to do that. So I think it's important to embrace that money is energy, that is love, and then we can go out and share that with the world and do some beautiful things with it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that in terms of like money being evil and all that kind of stuff?
I did for a while when I first was like, I'm going to be a life coach, a spiritual guide. And then I'm like, oh my God, can I really like charge people for this? And I did kind of have some guilt to it. But then when I did kind of switch my mindset and I thought, you know what? Yeah, when I'm making money for this, I will be providing for myself and my family, but I'm also going to be able to do so much more for the world. You know, I'll be able to donate to different charities and to help other people and not feel like, oh my God, if I donate, like, am I going to be able to feed my family? Like, I don't want to have that sort of energy.
Yeah.
And even traveling to like third world countries and helping out there, like you can do so much. It doesn't have to just be about you. Mm-hmm. Once I switched that mindset, then I was like, you know what? Yeah, I deserve to be compensated for the energy I'm giving. I'm exchanging my energy, you know, to help and guide others. So it only makes sense to receive energy back. And I just accept that energy in the form of money.
That makes total sense. And like looping back to how we were taken care of in the past, you know, if you are, and I'm not saying that this is right for everybody. Like some people have their bridge jobs or their regular jobs and they do their spiritual work on the side. Some are doing spiritual work full time. What it comes down to is that if your calling is truly to be a healer, a teacher, you know, all that kind of stuff, and you're giving your time to another job because you don't want to charge money for your sacred work, I feel ultimately you're doing a disservice to people, because that time that you're devoting to earning cash to support yourself could be given to people that require your services and that need your help. So, I mean, it really comes down to like, what do you really want to be doing right now with your time? How do you want to be serving humanity? And do that. And allow yourself to be compensated and know that, and I've said this before in other places, but I'll say it again, know that when you charge a cost, yes, it is an energy exchange, but it's also an opportunity for people to invest in themselves. Because I find that if somebody puts down queen cash to show up, they usually will show up and are ready and willing to do the work. Quite often, you know, you sign up for free trainings or free email courses or whatever, and for whatever reason the value isn't quite attached in the mind and you don't invest in the work.
That's so true. That's so, I never really thought of it that way, but that makes so much sense, because now I'm thinking back to things I've paid for and I totally am like a lot more focused and think I've gotten for free. I mean, I'll get something out of it, but I'll be, you know, like looking on Instagram while I'm listening to the webinar or whatever, not really 100% invested. So I like that. Yeah, it's kind of like it makes it more of a priority in your life.
Yes. Yeah, because for me, like something I have to say a lot is vote with your money, because that's where your energy goes, it grows. So if you're out there placing your money in certain places, you're voting in the universe. Yes, I want that to exist. Yes, I want that to grow. But you're also saying this, I almost dropped an F-bomb there. So,
sometimes. Too.
Okay, totally. Because I was like, oh, so yeah. So when you put the money, you're like, you know, this fucking matters to me.
Yes.
This is really important to me. This is a priority. And then, so yeah, the universe will bring you more opportunities in that way. But also your spirit will be like, I need to show up for this. I've like put something that I really care about on the line here for this. So I want to really experience it.
Do you find that that's a good way to kind of help with your money mindset, is by investing into things? Because I know a lot of people, I do this too sometimes. If I'm feeling a little strapped for cash, I feel like my precious, like I need to like hoard it. But then that's not a good energy, because then I feel like I'm putting out the lack mentality, and that's what I'll get more of. So
yeah.
You think it is important for people to invest into things that they, you know, to go ahead and splurge on that crystal that you see from the small shop owner on Etsy. Like,
yeah,
I mean, obviously, you know, to a balance, you don't want to like not feed your family to buy the crystal, but although I've been told to lie,
yeah.
But do you think that that's, you know, kind of an important step of changing your money mentality, is to not look at it as like the money that you don't have? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
I think it is like a fine balance. And it's hard to know sometimes. So with my clients, I work with them on developing a system where, you know, they have different honey pots set up, and each honey pot serves a different purpose in their life.
I like that.
So, and there's the main honey pot serves, you know, the baseline of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a question I ask them is, you know, what's that number value that is attached to a life that makes you feel healthy, happy, and content? So, you know, baseline doesn't mean my rent is paid, my food is paid, and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm just like scraping by, you know, what is enough,
mm-hmm.
but redefine what is enough for you. And that's your baseline. And then you have like your extra honeypots that are dedicated to certain things. So for me, one of them is sacred giving.
Mm.
So that's a honeypot for other people. Whether that's like someone in town that I see that needs some extra support, so I might send them some money, a charity that I love, or my friend's birthday is coming up, so I'll use money from that honeypot to gift them an experience. So what's important about that is that there's these opportunities to go and invest in the world and share your money with the world, but you're not going without.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Because that's really, really important, because how often do we do that on an energetic level,
mm-hmm.
where we're constantly like pushing our energy out, giving it to other people, and we're just draining our own energetic capital in this world. So there's two bank accounts to really consider when we're moving around. One is our actual clean cash, our money, honey accounts, and then our energetic accounts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there like pushing, 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 giving, 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 at one point, you know, you're drawing from your own energy. So you need to be conscious of, okay, I need to fill that back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And those two practices is highly linked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you taking care of your own energy will translate to you taking care of your money, honey story as well.
I
think that if you are feeling like that, my precious, kind of like hoarding feeling, I just want you to take a moment and visualize like a hose,
mm-hmm.
and that water flowing through it is money, honey.
Mm.
And when you've got that, my precious feeling, like you're squeezing that hose, nothing is moving. There's no breath, nowhere for it to move. In that moment, you have to let go and trust that more is coming,
mm-hmm.
that I'm always provided for, and that I can take care of my family and be taken care of at the same time. That I know can be challenging to do that. That's easier said than done at times, but that's where like a consistent spiritual practice comes into play. So you can trust,
mm-hmm.
and surrender to the process. But I find for me, like the quickest way for me to feel really rich, this is me, I'm not saying this is for everybody, is to go and donate money.
Mm.
Like nothing makes me feel like a baller,
yeah.
than like, just like handing out cash to people. I'm like, look at all this money that I've got. I'm just like bling, bling, throwing it out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be as simple as like going on to Kiva. I think it's kiva.org. Kiva.org or kiva.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, have you heard of that Kiva before?
I have. I don't think I've been to the website, but I have.
Yeah. So basically it's like, it's a website where you give microloans.
Okay.
To people in different countries that are starting up a business. And sometimes all they need is $25.
Oh, wow.
Or $5. I think the maximum you usually give is $25 anyways on average. So even if you go on to Kiva and put $5 down towards a woman in South America who is going to do some type of project that's going to change her village. And then eventually the money gets paid back and then you can recycle it back into the Kiva system. Yeah. And so some of the women on there, I say women because I focus on women, you know, all they need is $200 and suddenly they've got a booming business that supports their family and supports their community. So it doesn't take a lot.
Yeah.
To feel rich.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. Yay. That just gave me all the feels.
Yay.
Totally. As soon as we get off here, I'm going to be like going to the website, donating some money. I love that. I did have a question when you were talking. Now I can't think of what it was. Maybe it'll come back to me. I really do love that though. Like helping out others too. Oh, I know. Changing the lack, like knowing and trusting in the universe. It is definitely, just like with everything, it is a process. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes to just kind of put that faith out there. I've personally seen that happen when I'm like, oh God, like I'm spending, you know, like the last $20 in my bank account. And rather than being, oh my God, I'm spending the last $20 at the grocery store, instead being like, I'm thankful that I have $20 even to spend at the grocery store. And I know that, you know, the next bill will be provided for. And when I get into that mentality, next thing you know, I get like a huge sale for my shop or, you know,
yeah.
Random check from our insurance company will appear in the mail. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's scary to, you know, to just kind of trust blindly that you'll be provided for. But when you do wholeheartedly, it is amazing. You get.
Oh, absolutely. What you were talking about there, I think what's important to bring into the conversation is that there's different ways to feel rich that doesn't involve money, honey, at all. Mm. You know, so if you are feeling that like, oh my gosh, I'm on my last few dollars, or oh my gosh, I'm like really just holding tight, hoarding my cash, then it's time to create some experiences in your life that gives you that rich feeling. And so ahead of time, start getting honest with yourself about what makes you feel rich. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people might be, you know, dancing in their underwear in their house, or, you know, throwing some extra coconut oil into your bath, or going out with some girlfriends and having a really good laugh. Mm-hmm. So having like a really good list of things that you, or your go-tos that make you feel rich. Mm-hmm. So it raises your emotional frequency. So then at that point, you're a little bit more open to creative ideas around how to bring in the money, honey.
I love that.
Yeah, because when we're in that like really tight stuck mode, there isn't any like creative flow going.
Yeah.
So it's like, take a time out, go do something that makes you feel rich. Even if it's like taking some good lotion and lathering up your body.
I like that. Or using your expensive essential oil. I do.
Yes.
I have oils that are a little more pricey than others. And I'm always like, oh, I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I deserve to put this expensive ass oil on myself.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just going to just rain rose oil all over me. No bigs. Yeah.
Run myself all around. But it does. It totally does help to make you feel like, hey, I'm, you know, I matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. Yay. I'm trying to look at my questions because I feel like kind of like gone through a lot of them. What are some of the main causes for money blocks that you see that people have? Like, you know, I know a lot of it goes back to what we learned in our childhood and what we absorbed from our family or our parents. But like, is there anything that you could touch on that or why you think people have?
Yeah, for sure. There's some interesting blocks that I see. There's different categories. One definitely is ancestral. Mm-hmm. You know, the stories that have been passed down to you through your DNA. So maybe you're taking on traits from like way down the line. Then there's traits that are coming down like from your father's side. Stories like on how you were raised and you're witnessing how your family dealt with money. Because, you know, from a subconscious level, some of my friends are hypnotherapists. And one of them told me that from the time you're born to age, I think it's 6 or 7, you are in a constant state of hypnosis.
Oh, wow. So
everything that's around you is just like going right into your subconscious and it becomes like a fundamental belief. So it's reworking those beliefs. And that's a big block sometimes. Like, how does my dad handle money? How does my mom handle money? I grew up in a home that everyone said that I have to work hard for my money. That's the one I hear a lot. I have to work hard for my money.
Yeah.
If I don't work hard for my money, even if I earn it, it's not real, or it's dirty, you know? Yeah. The money is dirty thing.
That it somehow isn't worth it. Like, what? No, like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all there. It's all juicy. Another one that comes up is, this might be really potent to say right now, but I'm just going to say it, sexual trauma. That when that happens in a person's life, that can create some blocks because the person is experiencing a lack of, how do I say this? Self-worth in that moment. They don't actually feel like they have their little piece on this earth. Like their little corner of earth has been like,
Invaded.
So they're really like in this protective scarcity mode. So like what we were talking about before, like holding really tight on that hose. They're doing that with their whole body, closing themselves off. And the reason why that's important to bring up, because in that context, you're closing yourself off from receiving love, you know, the prosperity of love for the most part. And that, and a lot of times for the women that I work with that have experienced sexual trauma, what ends up happening is that, because I've experienced this in my own life too, where it's, we're living, we're magnetic beacons of love. The trauma happens and all of a sudden our body's like, no, we're no longer magnetic. We need to shut down, go within and act like a man. I'm not saying that this is what happens to every single person, but quite often we end up moving deeply with the masculine out of protection, and we're not in sync or in flow with our feminine anymore. There needs to be that beautiful, gracious balance. And so that can really throw people off. The other thing that I think it happens too is, and this is where it may sound cheesy, but I'm like 100% for real here. If a person isn't moving in flow with the big fire in their body, so as in like their dreams, their soul song, money, honey, can be an issue at that time too, because it could be your spirit in the universe saying, yo, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So we're not going to reward you anymore. It's like almost like a turkey tunnel. And you're like going in all these other directions. And the divine is like, I have laid out a path for you. Seriously, all you have to do is run down this line. Like, there it is.
So, get it together, damn it.
Get it together. The breadcrumbs has been laid out.
Yeah.
So just follow it. And a lot of my clients, like once they start to really recognize, okay, like this is actually what I want to be doing, and start moving towards that, boom, things start really flowing very quickly. And you're just excited, you're happy. And then that translates to you being very attractive to the whole world, and things start coming, like start rushing for you.
I love that.
And then there's this one more that I wanted to mention is there's guilt in having.
Yes.
Right. So, and when, what I mean by that is some people feel like I don't deserve to have anything. I don't deserve to have anything. If that person over there doesn't have anything, I don't deserve to have anything. Or they just don't feel like they belong in this place. They don't have that innate sense of, I deserve to be here. I have a right to be here. When that foundation is rocked, that usually translates to some money, honey problems.
Wow. It's so interesting how so many things in our lives that we wouldn't necessarily immediately correlate with money in our lives, that they really do have such an impact on our prosperity and our money. And especially the sexual trauma one, I never in a million years would have put those two together, but it makes so much sense. Because I personally have suffered sexual trauma when I was younger, and you were like talking about that. I'm like, oh my God, that's me. That's like what I've done. That's so interesting. Wow.
Yeah. It blows my mind every time.
Yeah,
it does. You know, when I'm on a tea date with someone or I'm in conversation with my clients and the topic comes up. Mm-hmm. And the sexual trauma in so many different forms, mm-hmm. You know, where there's experiences where, like, you know, Blair Porter talks about this consent with your whole body, mm-hmm. your whole body, mind, and spirit. So maybe in your mind, you're like, this is the right thing to do and I'm consenting to it. But when you really tap down into your body and your spirit, you're like, actually, I don't consent. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. I'm doing this because society says I need to do this, or my ego says I need to do this. But your higher self and your spirit is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This moment here does not serve you. Mm-hmm. And that doing that over and over again, it creates, like, it's like the same thing as being experiencing sexual trauma in your body. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. And then it all kind of goes back to going within, like yeah. talked about the beginning, and just really listening to yourself and your own inner cues and, you know, what your own self, your full self is saying, not just your mind.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you find too that it seems like, I mean, yes, sometimes money is about money, but it yes. seems like a lot of the time it's not so much about money, but it's more about so much more deeper things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that people, when they come to you and they're like, hey, I want to work on my money mentality, like things come up for them that they didn't even, that they weren't even really aware of, that were like kind of issues or blocks?
Yes. Or that we're talking about their money and then I'll ask them a question about their life, because in my mind and in my spirit, I can see exactly where this is coming from. Mm-hmm. So they'll be talking to me how they, what their spending habits, and then I'll say, okay, so when you're in a relationship with someone, do you give to the point that you, there's nothing left, and are you always tired, and that, and all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and it ends up being the case mm-hmm. that they've been overgivers and people pleasers. I'm not saying this is every single person, because every person is different.
Yeah.
But that does happen. So yeah, absolutely. Their money honey story usually tells me right away what's going on in the other parts of their lives.
Yeah. I don't necessarily like the saying, but it's almost like killing two birds with one stone. That saying always makes me sad. I'm like, oh, poor bird.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're healing deep wounds and things and shadows aspects of yourself.
Absolutely.
You then get the money flowing into your life, you're then healing and getting other beautiful things flowing into your life.
Because what happens too is that this body, this container, this sacred container that you're in right now, every step of the moment it's sacred, but at every step of the moment, this container is sending out a frequency that attracts a certain experience. Mm-hmm. So if you're calling in, so for example, I'm just making up numbers here. This is not putting this on anybody. If your body and your spirit is vibrating a frequency of, you know what, I can handle $10,000 a year level of money, honey, income, then there needs to be some work done inside and out, some expansion, some clearing to raise that frequency, that barometer inside for the, okay, you know what, I'm $100,000 kind of person. And then, or I'm the kind of person that can receive $1 million or 10 million, whatever it is. It's having to do with, you know, what space do you have to hold for that? Mm-hmm. And does that money have purpose in your life? Do I have the emotional, spiritual, and mental intelligence? So I'm not saying anyone's stupid,
yeah.
but it's just that, like, do I have that capacity to hold and handle and manage all of that money, honey? Otherwise, what's the point of it coming to you if you don't have that? It's just, it's, for example, when we think about lottery winners, unfortunately, quite often their money is gone within sometimes a year and a half if they're lucky.
That's so insane to think about.
Yeah, right? They get this check, sometimes $15 million, $1 million, $2 million, boom, it's gone. And it's not because that person isn't deserving. They absolutely are. They just don't have an inner barometer yet. And that continue to hold it mm-hmm. and then keep calling more in. So One of my friends that I just adore, her name's Erin Schroeder, the psychic witch. And something that she said at one point, and I hope I phrase this properly, but she's had moments in her life where she's thankful that money hasn't come in because she knew that the universe was giving her space and time to grow and clear and clean so that she can, open up her space for more money to come in. Mm. So if you're in a position right now where that cash is not coming in, take a moment and go, okay, what is it that I need to learn right now? And what do I need to clear in my life and be thankful for this opportunity? Because you're going to get to expand and clear that. So when the money, honey, does come in, it's going to stay in a healthy way, not in a hoarding way, but you're like, wow, I'm making my cash grow. Things are flowing in. You're not, it's just not going to drain out of your life instantly. Mm-hmm. So it won't be one of those like easy come, easy go in a bad way. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. That actually reminds me of my little money story too, is for the longest time, I thought I was afraid to fail in business. But then it clicked one day and I was like, I'm not afraid to fail. I'm afraid to succeed. Like, what am I going to do when this money does start coming in? Like, I don't know what to do with money. Like, I'm horrible with money. And so then I realized, like, that's why money isn't flowing in, is because I'm afraid to receive it and I don't know what I'm doing. So the universe, I'm not giving you this because you can't handle it right now.
Yeah.
I started doing the work, then like a little more money would start coming in. And then like I would notice too, when I would be not very smart with my money, when I would get it, then it would be like another block again. And it would be a while before more money was starting to flow. It was like just receiving lessons from the universe. I'm like, okay, are you finally ready now? Like, did you learn your lesson? Here's more money. Here's prosperity.
Yes.
It wasn't until I started to really get a little more smart with it that then it started to flow a little more easily.
Absolutely. I like imagining it as if I'm in a loving relationship with money, honey. I don't mean it in like that gross,
laying in your bed with your money.
Well, I could do that if I wanted to, but I would be down. But I don't mean it like in that money is on a pedestal type style, obsessive thing.
Yeah.
It's more of like being just like in a healthy relationship, period. Like when you're in a relationship with a lover, you really start to learn, well, what makes that lover happy? Mm-hmm. How can I help this lover live a fulfilled life? And how does that lover help me live a fulfilled life? And how are we there for each other in a way that makes each other feel good? So same thing with the money, honey, right? It's like, well, okay, what can I do? What systems can I set up in place so that when you come into my life, you feel good? Mm-hmm. Like you're excited to be here and we're going to have a good time. Yeah. And then you go and have a great time with that money, honey. So this translates to, like, how are you in your relationships? Will translate how you are with money too.
Wow.
Because even if you're loaded and you're a total dick to the people in your life, what's the point of having money at that point? And I'm sure like all the people around you are crunchy and the money that's there feels crunchy too. Mm-hmm. I say that because I think about, this is getting into fun territory. I think about, have you ever heard of financial dominatrix? They're called FinDoms.
I have, yeah.
Okay. I love FinDoms. I'm totally like gaga for them. I don't have the capability of being a FinDom at this point in my life. But I really admire the services they're offering people, in terms of like creating, how do I say this? Like sexual wellness for people.
I guess maybe we should explain what that is for people who don't
know. Oh, that's true. A FinDom. Okay. So a FinDom is somebody who, I'm trying to describe it in a way that doesn't sound crazy. So they're a dominatrix for people, but rather than punishing them with words and physically speaking, they punish them by, having the person spend their money. Mm. And usually that person spending the money on the FinDom. mm-hmm. or like going out to spend money in other places. The main purpose, though, quite often, and this is why I'm talking about the whole wealthy, healthy heart connections, is that a lot of the clients that show up are really powerful people that have a lot of money, a lot of power during the day, and they're sexually aroused by being financially weakened. Mm. And in their mind, if I'm spending money out of control because this person's telling me to do it, it makes them feel more sexually aroused. Mm. I hope I'm describing that well. Would you add anything to the FinDom land?
That pretty much sums it up, I think.
Yeah. So yeah. Sometimes it's not about nudity and it's not about actual sexual contact.
Yeah.
It's about being in a weaker position that makes them feel really good. And then the next day they go back to being powerful. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I'm talking about having a healthy relationships in your life in general and how that will make you have a healthy relationship with money is when you think about those people that have like that excessive power in quotes, this yeah. make-believe power and non-healthy relationships, they're having to seek this like sexual force and energetic wellness by being weakened by spending their money. Mm-hmm. So there's a total imbalance in there. Like that person most likely needs a little bit of help in terms of how they love themselves and how they love other people to balance that relationship with money. Mm-hmm. So we can do that outside of the FinDom land anyways, mm-hmm. Just by going, okay, well, how do I want to love myself? How do I want to be loved? And then translating that to, well, how do I show up for other people? How do I love other people in all the different ways? Mm-hmm. And then letting that energy flow into your money, honey story. Mm-hmm. Because quite often I find like clients that have a difficulty receiving love from people, as in even as basic as me saying to somebody, you know, like, wow, you're beautiful. And that person just like closes down and can't receive that compliment. They have a hard time receiving money as well. So it could be as simple of a practice as if somebody compliments you, and this is something I had to work on myself, rather than kind of turning away and going, ah. or thinking, oh, like, yeah, whatever, you know, like brushing it off. Or I used to say to myself, like, I'm just going to earmark that for later. Like, I can't handle that compliment right now, so I'm just going to deal with it later. But the thing is, later never comes.
Yeah.
Right? So you just have to practice receiving in all ways in your life mm-hmm. so that the money can flow in as well. Mm-hmm. To me, they run in the same frequency.
Yes. I like that. So much information. I love it. I love the, what really stood out to me though too is thinking of your money as a relationship. Because I mean, it really is. You have a relationship with your money, and instead of, you know, fighting in that relationship and having that imbalance, looking at it as, you know, if this was your lover or, you know, your partner, how would you be treating this other person?
Yeah.
You want to have that mutual respect. You want to have that mutual give and take, and you yeah. want to have fun with each other, and, you know, you want to support each other. I think yes. that's a really good way to look at it, because it also brings it more on like a personal level rather than being, like you said earlier, like we're here and then money is like over here.
Yeah.
It brings it more, you know, connected and intertwined into your personal life. And
yeah.
Then if you think of it that way, you may be a little more willing to, you know, do the work with it.
Yeah. Right. Because most relationships require good, healthy communication, clarity around each other's needs and desires, quality of time to like to support and tend to those needs. Your money, honey, needs the same thing. Like you need clear communication around, okay, like what do I want from my money? How do I want to work with my money? Quality time. Well, okay, now I know my money needs this type of focus here and there. Like maybe once a week I need to check in, give it some love. And when I say give it some love, I mean like open up your bank account online and then think about three things that you're grateful for. So you're sending some good vibes into that money, honey, you know, and realizing that if the accounts aren't sitting where they're at, you know, moving to a place of rage and anger is not going to help.
Yeah.
Right. If you're in a relationship with somebody and they're, you know, they're not showing up exactly the way you want to, if you come in guns blazing and raging, that person usually shuts down mm-hmm. and is like, I don't want to talk to you right now.
Yeah.
I thought I'd been loving you and now you're freaking me out. Right. So just sit down and like, okay. So, you know, when you do this, this is how I feel. And that doesn't work for me. Like, I want to be loved in this way. Mm-hmm. So same thing with your money, honey, like talk to it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So what would you say to people who, I know this is going to be kind of a loaded question, but if they're wanting to like, all right, I want to address my money blocks. I want to address my money issues. Other than working with you, of course, because you're amazing and you offer like a whole program, you offer one-on-one stuff. So definitely check her out, you guys. But if they're kind of wanting to just dip their toes into the money aspect, what are a couple tips that you have for people to like, you know, to kind of take that step towards repairing their relationship with money?
Okay. Before I answer that question, I think it's really important that I say one thing mm-hmm. is that money honey blocks exist right across the spectrum, regardless of how much money you have. Mm. And I say that because I work with clients that have very little money to clients that have more money than we can imagine. Mm. You know, they come from a long line of like inherited wealth. And the money blocks are still there. Mm. So know that this isn't just like, I just want to say this out loud to people. Like, don't think that money blocks only exist with people that are poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, poor as in like have very little money. It's right across the board. Okay. I just need to say that out loud. I think the very first thing that I always go to is create some clarity around your money, honey story. Like getting honest with yourself about, okay, what are my patterns? What have I been doing with my money? How do I want money to show up in my life and create clarity around that? And actually getting honest to yourself, okay, for like I said before, asking yourself, for a life that makes me feel healthy and content and safe, what does that take? Mm-hmm. And knowing that what that is for you is different for other people. Like for some people, having a small cabin in the woods and living off the grid, that's perfect for them. And, you know, they may not require a lot of money a month to do that. Other people require more. Mm-hmm. And getting really honest with yourself and not feeling guilty for wanting to fulfill those desires. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there's different baselines. So getting really honest with yourself about that. The second thing too, that after getting clear about that in your money land, is to look inside of your body and your home and look for ways to create clarity and breath and flow in those spaces. Because quite often when I talk to certain people, their desks are cluttered, their closets are cluttered, they're usually jammed with too much stuff in their home. And so this is like Asian feng shui stuff coming out over here. But I think it's important to acknowledge that if there isn't ease and flow in your home, mm-hmm. there's no energy moving. So there's most likely not energy moving in your money honey story and in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like this is me. I really feel like your space reflects how you're feeling and how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So looking and ways to go about your place and go, okay, I want to be surrounded by value mm-hmm. because I am of value. So going through your home and asking yourself, okay, all these things, do they add purpose to my life? Do they bring me joy? Does it add value to my life? And if it doesn't, donate it, give it to somebody else where they can enjoy it. Because if you look at, I mean, for me, if I look at places that are very luxurious,
mm-hmm.
if you look at them almost always, there's so much space,
mm-hmm.
right? You walk in, you can breathe. It's beautiful. And so what I mean by that is go into your home and your workspace and your car, your yard, and go, okay, what can I do to create space so that I can breathe by my own standards? What can I do to beautify this space by my own standards? And I think that's really important to ask, because it is really up to you. If you can walk into a room and go, wow, I feel like I can breathe and it's beautiful here, then Lakshmi will show up and bless your life. She doesn't come to a home or a space, so a home, your body, or anywhere, if it's dirty or messy or not beautiful, right? And so, but I also don't want to impose anybody's ideas on you of what that means. Mm-hmm. So really, if you walk into place and you don't feel like that, then she's not going to show up. Mm-hmm. So those are two really easy things. Okay, by easy, I mean, they're not going to destroy you to do them. It just takes some time and some effort. Mm-hmm. Not easy in the sense that it can get overwhelming. You know I've gone through in the last like 3 years, like round after round of purging. And every time I'm blown away about how emotional I can get about it.
It's crazy. You know, why is that, do you think, that people get so, like, I have stuff that I haven't used in like forever, or like clothing especially too, and I'm like, I haven't worn this in like 3 years. Why? And every time I'm looking through my closet, I'm like, why is this in here? But then when I get rid of it, I'm like, ah, like, why do you think that is, that people just freeze up when it's time to like purge and just get rid of the stuff? Why do you think that is?
I think it ties to, I think there's two layers here. I think it ties to like energetics and energetic stories in your body. So like you're literally creating shifts in your space, which is forcing you to create shifts in your spirit and your body, and you're fighting it. Like you're not quite ready. Maybe not ready is not the right word. I think you are ready, but there's that like tension of like, I don't want to change. Mm-hmm. I want it to stay where it is. Like, for example, in January, Aiden and I were doing a major purge of our house. Mm-hmm. And finally he was ready to like go through our closet. We're going through the closet, and I'm not joking, we had 4 garbage bags of his clothes.
Oh, wow.
That needed to go. And because we were at that point in that room where even if everything was clean and folded, it still looked like a disaster because there was nowhere to put clothes. Mm-hmm. And at one point, and he's not really super into the woo-woo, but at one point he like grabbed the clothes and like threw them on the ground. And he's like, I don't understand what's happening. He's like, I'm really upset right now. Oh. He's like, I feel so upset about this. And he's like, and I know, and he said the same thing. He's like, I know, like these are just clothes. Like, why am I so upset? Mm-hmm. And it's like, cause you have like all these sentimental, stories attached to these items. And so I said to him at that time, just because we donate the item and like let it go, it doesn't mean that the stories and the memories you have attached to these items are gone.
Yeah.
They're still within your sphere. You, whatever memory that you have, you know, by wearing that shirt or that person gifting it to you, the sentiment, that emotion isn't gone. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're just like giving yourself space to breathe and for it to move. And afterwards, well, actually not the afterwards, before I even get to that. And sometimes as we're like shifting our space, odd stories come up, you know, I'll suddenly remember something and that like bothers me that has nothing to do with anything, but this, there it is, like, ta-da, we're back. Yeah, here I am, you know, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Where did this come from? And, you know, initially my thought was like, whoa, like seriously, this is not the time, like jam it back down. Yeah. Like this is what we're doing here. And then, but I noticed that actually like the more I gave myself space and time to be like, okay, wait, if this is coming up, it's coming up for a reason. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at it. Let's sit with it, honor it, take the lesson from it and go, okay, thanks for showing up. I'm ready to let you go. And you let it go. Like I'll even take the stories and just like maybe hold an item or a bag and be like, okay, in my mind, I'm like putting the story in the bag. It's not like going to leave my home, leave my space. Mm-hmm. So with that said, know that all these purging processes don't have to happen in one day. You know, you can allow yourself to go like corner by corner, bit by bit, each day. Mm-hmm. So for example, it could be you know, I'm going to work on this drawer today. Mm-hmm. And then exhale, work on that drawer, and just like slowly move through your house until all of a sudden you're like, wow, everything's clear. We're good.
I need to do that. I want to get off this call, go to the Kiva website, and then I'm going through stuff. Because, yeah, ooh, there's some stuff I need to get rid of. Well, how can people work with you? Because we talked about what they can start to do on their own. But if they are wanting to, like, really, like, let's do this.
Okay, let's do this.
Really help them.
Okay, there's a couple different ways. The first way I'd mention is on Facebook, I have a group mm-hmm. called Rich Witch Circle with LRD. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go join that group. It's free. Mm-hmm. So there's a community there of women. So this, it is a community just for women. So whether you're cisgendered or transgendered woman, you're welcome to join. Mm-hmm. And so all of us are in there talking about different things that we're doing, and it's a free way to connect. I host Rich Witch Council with some of my sisters, and we teach different topics every so often, and those are free. So you can find out about that within that circle as well. And head to my website, www.lararosewong.com. I offer, you know, one-on-one mentorship programs. And then I also offer single sessions, like where I do a full-on session, but it's one time. Just to meet people's budgets, because I notice that some people, A, either don't have the finances or the energetic capacity to jump into a long-term mentorship. So we do have one-off sessions. And then I do like Rich Witch readings and things like that too. So just reach out, let me know what it is you're looking for, and then I can help you. So I encourage people quite often to sign up for a tea date with me first. And so that's at bit.ly/tdate that you can sign up. And I can usually have a, you know, a conversation with you to find out, hey, what's happening, what's going on. We identify. And then from there, I can say, okay, well, maybe let's start with the Rich Witch reading, or let's see if it's the mentorship that you need. And so I, like, I try to meet people where they're at. And plus, you know, let's just be honest in the sense that we're not all meant to work with everybody, you know? So I like having the tea dates so I can know right off the bat, like, yes, like we're meant to work together. Actually, you're meant to work with this person over here, or like go do these resources first and then come back and do a session. Because yeah, like we're not, yeah. I just want to say that out loud. Like I really believe that there are certain people out there that are meant to work with me and some that aren't. And yes. I'm cool with that.
I love that you admit that too. Like that just shows about your character that, you know, you're an honest, authentic person and you're not like, yeah, I'll work with anybody and everybody. You know, I really respect that. You're like, no, you know, I may not be for you and you may not be for me, and that's fine. That's.
Well, some people need like that cold, do, get it done like this, like rah, rah. Yeah. And that has its bubble and its purpose. I am not that person. Mm-hmm. I am more of like, we need to move at your pace. Let's like be held and safe and loved as we go through this process mm-hmm. and activating your magic and finding out what is important to you. I'm really a big fan of holding space because it's important to me that, how do I say this out loud properly? I really want to foster a relationship where at the end of it, you leave feeling like you can take care of your own shit. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is that you don't become reliant on our relationship. Yeah. Does that make sense when I say that like that? Yeah.
You don't want it to be a crutch. You're wanting to empower people, not be dependent. So
yeah,
definitely makes sense. All righty. Well, do you have anything else that you would like to add before we jump off of here?
I'm really excited that we did this call.
Me too.
It was so much fun.
I'm so much. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really excited for everybody to take it in. Oh, here's something that you can do. Actually, I remembered. And I can send you the link for this so you can share it with them. I have a meditation, Rich Witch meditation, and it's free that you can start working with every day to activate your relationship with Lakshmi and to like connect with that big golden fire in your belly every day. It's potent. It's really, really good.
I actually have that sitting in my inbox of yours.
Oh, yeah. I just
haven't had the right moment, which actually I just received her today. My little watch.
Oh, yay.
So I feel like, and I have this too sitting here. I've got all these things. I found this at a thrift store ages ago. It's just a little shelf. I'm like, where am I going to put this? And then I'm like, I'm going to put it in the southeast corner of my house, right above.
Yeah, yes.
And this is going to become my new little money sacred space. So I think I'm going to put that up today. And then this evening, listen to your meditation and.
I'm so excited. Yes. I think I want to end on saying that it's really important that everybody knows that the number in your account, no matter how small or how big it is, doesn't define who you are. It's not indicative of your worthiness in this world. And a practice that I'm encouraging a lot of my rich witches to do is, and I'm going to share this with you, is every day to suit up. And by suit up, I mean create a beautiful space where you're loved and protected. So just like how you're getting dressed. So this is what we're doing is you clear your energy. So whether it's like with sage or white light, whatever it is, clear the space and then fuse your body with these spells. So as you put your left shoe on, the mantra is, and the spell is, I am safe to be seen now. Right? Because you're safe to be seen now as you are, not like this make-believe version of yourself that's 10 years from now. You are safe to be seen now. Right shoe. I am safe to be heard now. Right? You're going to express yourself. Know that your voice has a place in this world. Stand up and breathe that all in through your body. Hold your hands up to the sky. Connect with your higher self. So you're grounded to the Great Mother, you're reaching up, and then you tap your crown. Mm-hmm. I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. So that's 1, 2, 3, that beautiful triangle. So again, I am safe to be seen now. I'm safe to be heard now. I deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. And just infusing your space with that, this lets you feel magnificent. Safe, secure, your root chakra is like hella happy. And when you know that you deserve to be here, own that, like that corner of your world, it's so much easier to feel rich and receive in this lifetime.
Thank you for sharing that. That's such a beautiful, powerful way to start your day every day. Like, doing that. Like, how could you do that and not feel like, hell yeah, I'm going out to conquer the world? And
yeah.
I'm meant to receive and give what I'm meant to give. Like, that's great. Thank you so much. This was absolutely amazing. And thank you for sharing your time and energy in this space. And I love it. Thank you. Oh,
thank you so much for sharing your space with me. And thank you to everybody that checked in on the call. Sending you all so, so much love. And may you all be so prosperous in all ways in your life.
Yay. Thank you.
Mwah.